Hello there, this is Seven Laws Blog UK. I am David, nice to meet you again. And this article is called Possible Implications About Creating a New Religion. Possible Implications About Creating a New Religion. Quote, the general principle governing these matters is Gentiles should not be allowed to originate a new religion or create divine commandments for themselves based on their own decisions. They may either become righteous converts and accept all the Jewish divine commandments, or stay in their law, neither adding nor detracting. And that's taken from Mishneh Torah, Laws of Kings and Wars, Chapter 10, Law 9, or in some versions 12, Law 12, end quote. So, other rabbis talking about this teaching from Maimonides says they say the following, quote, Noahides, that's another word for Gentiles, well, actually, no, he says it different, doesn't he? Anyway, Noahides may not create their own original customs of worship, religious ceremonies, or any other religious obligation to be treated as law or set in stone. End quote. And that's taken from Guide for the Noahide by Rabbi Michael Shlomo Bar-Aaron, Part 2, Chapter B, Section H, and that's the online version. Another quote. So it seems that the establishment of a new religion occurs only when a person comes and says that he has been ordered by God to fulfill such and such a law, and not when he is trying to reach a degree of spiritual perfection by fulfilling the commandments that the children of Israel has been ordered to carry out. End quote. And that's from near the beginning of the Divine Commandments by Rabbi Yoel Schwartz, found online. The emphasis once again is mine. At least in the blog anyway, the article. And here's another quote. This acceptance restrains the non-Jew from creating a new religion, even one based on the seven laws, because one then understands that the human sense of morality can never improve upon the laws given to Moses from on high. That's end quote. That's from page 126. 126, the book is The Seven Colors of the Rainbow, Torah Ethics for Non-Jews. Now, a Talmudic statement relevant to the topic at hand states the following, along with the commentary. Quote, there's a lot of quotes in here, so just bear with me. Resh Lakish also said, a heathen, that is a Gentile, who keeps a day of rest deserves death, for it is written, and the day and the night they shall not rest. And the master has said, their prohibition is their death sentence. Rabina said, even if he rested on a Monday. Now, why is this not included in the seven Noachian laws? Only negative injunctions, laws to sit down and not do, are enumerated. Not positive ones, such as laws to get up and do. And that's commented on in a footnote 38, which says, the seven Noachian laws deal with things which a heathen must abstain from doing. But when we say that a heathen must not observe a day of rest, we bid him to do a positive action, vis-a-vis work. End quote. That's from Sonsino edition of the Babylonian Talmud, Tractate Sanhedrin, Folio 58b. And again, a different version of the Talmud, but the same quote. Here we go. Quote, and Reish Lakish says, a Gentile who observed Sabbath is liable to receive the death penalty, as it is stated, and day and night shall not cease, according to Genesis 8:23, which literally means, and day and night they shall not rest. This is interpreted homiletically to mean that the descendants of Noah may not take a day of rest. And the master said, in 57a, that their prohibition is their death penalty, i.e. the punishment for any prohibition with regard to the descendants of Noah is execution. Ravina says, if a descendant of Noah observes the day of rest on any day of the week, even one not set aside for religious worship, for example on a Monday, he's liable. The Gemara challenged this, saying, but let the Tanna count this prohibition among the seven Noahide law mitzvot. That means commandments. The Gemara explains, when the Tanna counts the seven mitzvot, he counts only those that require one to sit and refrain from action, namely those that include a prohibition against performing a certain action. He does not count mitzvot that require one to arise and take action. End quote. And that's taken from the William Davidson Talmud, Tractate Sanhedrin, Folio 58b. And that can be found on a website called safaria.org. And hopefully, is this the last quote? This is the last quote for now. So it says as follows. The various listings of the seven Noahide commandments contain only prohibitions against performing certain acts. For example, do not steal and do not commit adultery. The Noahite, that means a Gentile, the Noahite fulfills them by not acting, refraining from theft and adultery. The prohibition against ceasing from work, however, is actually a positive command requiring people to perform acts of work. Thus, it is not included in the list of Noahide laws. End quote. And that's taken from footnote 42 from the Schottenstein edition of the Babylonian Talmud, Sanhedrin 58b. Okay. The background reading is done, so what's the point of this post? According to what was taught, the seven laws are seven prohibitions, seven commands demanding restraint from certain actions. Only the law of justice has an additional active element to the law. And just in case you doubt me on that, you can go to Babylonian Talmud, Tractate Sanhedrin, Folio 59a, that's where it states that the law of justice is the only one that has an additional active element. So the law concerning murder is saying, do not do the act of murder. A person who doesn't do the act of murder is innocent regardless of the reason why he or she didn't murder. Okay. The law concerning sexual partners is saying, don't have sex with these certain people. A person who doesn't do the act of having sex with, for example, an animal, is innocent regardless of the reason why he or she didn't do it. If someone were to claim that God also gave the positive command to get married in his seven laws, someone saying something like, oh well, not having sex with the wrong partners is hinged on having sex with the right partner. Therefore, God commanded everyone to get married, so it must be done by divine decree. Then that, doing that, saying that, living by that, would be adding a religious law, an additional obligation, and saying it's divine. God now gave eight laws, not seven, or such a positive command, if they say it's part of seven, contradicts the statement from the Talmud and its commentaries that God only gave prohibitions except the law of justice. So again, to claim that God commanded people to get married among his seven laws would be a lie and an addition to his law. You know, maybe someone already disagrees, but you know, whatever. So we have the command concerning idolatry. The core command says, don't actively give divine worship to an aspect of creation, or don't give divine worship to an idol, accepting it upon yourself as a god. The command is a prohibition. It's a command not to do something. It says nothing about the reasoning. It just says, don't do X. Now, Jews, a good amount of them, they arise, rabbis amongst them, saying, well, God commanded Gentiles to know him. It's what the law of idolatry is hinged on. There's Chabad.org saying this. So what are the seven Noahide laws? Quote. So what are the seven Noahide laws? The seven Noahide laws are rules that all of us must keep regardless of who we are or from where we come from. Or from where we come, let's try that. Regardless of who we are or from where we come. Without these seven things, it would be impossible for humanity to live together in harmony. The first law, apparently, is do not profane God's oneness in any way. Acknowledge that there is a single God who cares about what we are doing and desires that we take care of his world. End quote. And that's from the seven Noahide laws, universal morality, and that's from a website, that's from an article in Chabad.org. And on Noahide.org, another website, when it lists the seven laws, it says the following in the place of the law concerning idolatry. Quote, know God, knowledge of the one true God. And that's an article called The Seven Laws of Noah on Noahide.org. As may be well known, the Divine Code teaches this sort of thing. It teaches this saying, quote, the prohibition of idolatry has two facets, the command to recognize and know God and the prohibition against serving idols, end quote. All of these well-known sites and resources and others state that a Gentile is, as part of his core obligation, the seven laws, commanded in an active and positive manner to know and recognize God. What again does it mean to create a new religion according to what I've quoted above? It means to create a religious obligation to be treated as law, as a command, set in stone. It's when somebody says they've been commanded, ordered by God to fulfill such and such a law that is not part of the seven. So somebody could say, hey, for an example, hey, God gave us God commanded us to give charity. And I'd say, oh, really? Really? And they'd reply, well, yes. Yes. I mean, it's actually part of the law of theft, but yes, God gave us this law to give charity. But then again, I'd respond, we have a problem. God only commanded about stuff we should not do, told us to restrain ourselves from various action. Doesn't such a law fly in the face of and contradict that principle? Well, yes, it does. But then the retort may come, well, my rabbi told me we're commanded to give charity. And I would say that contradicts a teaching more authoritative than him. In addition, when Maimonides wrote out the law of theft, he wrote it in accordance to the ancient principle. He only wrote a prohibition, not an active command to give charity. With evidence like that from Maimonides and the Talmud, Yeah, I had to break that for a little while. Let me see if I can get back to where I was. Had to deal with something. Anyway, so, to carry on. With evidence like that from Maimonides and the Talmud, if somebody says we're commanded to give charity, then that's creating a new religion or adding a new command. And as was said above, one should understand that the human sense of morality, even the sense of a rabbi, can never improve upon the laws given to Moses from on high. Again, you know I'm going to get a retort. Someone's going to say, but David, my rabbi, this great rabbi, or the websites of these rabbis, or this book from a great rabbi with a multitude of approbations tells me that I have a positive command to know God. I have to rely on his authority and expertise rather than your gentle voice. And my response would be that I'm telling no one to do anything. I'm not telling anyone to do anything. You know, you don't have to read my blog, this article on the blog, and you don't have to listen to me. But I do have to do what I think is right. And I have to use what I've been taught to judge what comes my way. And yes, it's not just okay, but it's also necessary that we judge things. So if I see an ancient teaching saying, the ancient teaching saying that God mainly gave only prohibitions, idolatry being one of them, and then anyone comes to me saying, actually, there's a positive command in the seven, I would say that person is adding religious commandments, even the commandment to believe in or acknowledge or know God. They're adding commandments. It's that simple. There are two other factors that I didn't include that buttress the point even further. Firstly, according to the Talmud, its commentaries, Maimonides and Nachmanides, breaking the actual seven laws bring the liability of death, the death penalty, in a righteous Gentile court, or at least it can. Do I have to give quotes for that too? I mean, but David, who's going to believe you if you ain't, who's going to believe that you're not making this stuff up? If you don't give quotes, then, you know, people are going to say, you know, it's just off the top of your head. So, as it's a valid point, let's give some more quotes. Okay, so quote. The Gemara asks, where have I gone? What just happened? There he goes. The Gemara asks, and is a descendant of Noah executed for idol worship? But isn't it taught in a Baratai, or Baratai, whatever, that with regards to idol worship, matters for which a Jewish court executes the transgressor are prohibited to a descendant of Noah, which means a Gentile. The Gemara infers, yes, there is a prohibition for a descendant of Noah, but there's no death penalty. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, their prohibition is their death penalty. Since the only punishment mentioned in the Torah for transgressing the a Noahide mitzvah, or commandment, is execution, any descendant of Noah who transgresses is liable to be executed. And that's taken from Tractate Sanhedrin 57a. That's from the William Davidson Talmud from Sepharia.org. And here's another quote from Maimonides. A non-Jew who violates one of the seven commandments is executed by means of the sword. How is this so? Anyone who worships idols or blasphemed or murdered or had sexual relations with one of those forbidden to him or stole even less than the value of a pruta or ate any amount from a limb or the flesh of a live animal or saw someone else violate one of these and failed to judge and execute him is himself executed by means of the sword. And that's according to chapter 9, law 14, from Laws of Kings and Wars of the Mishneh Torah. And is this the last quote? This may be the last quote. So this is the last quote. The Ramban, that's another word for Nachmanides, in Bereshith or Genesis 34:25, asks many questions on the words of Ramban. Now I'm sure that's 34:13, but you know, whatever, I'm just a Gentile. So, among his questions, he asks that the mitzvah, or commandment of dinin, includes the law that a judge is not allowed to decide a case based on corrupt or fraudulent grounds. If a judge does so, he is chayav misa, or that means worthy of the death penalty, for the active transgression of a prohibition. And Ramban cites the Talmud Jerusalem as proof of this. However, if the Nochrim or Gentiles in a certain city fail to set up a court altogether, they are not chayav misa, or worthy of death, since they merely neglected to perform a positive command and did not transgress a prohibition. The Gemara, later in 57a, that's the Talmud, Sanhedrin 57a, teaches that the law prescribes the death penalty for B'nai Noach for transgressing any command for which they have been warned. This implies that only the violation of a warning, which refers to a negative prohibition, and that's, see, you know, they say 59B, which was 58B. Yeah, I should change that. That's 58B, not 59B. Carries the death penalty. So that implies that only a violation of a warning, which refers to a negative prohibition, carries a death penalty. Since the commandment of Dinim is a positive commandment, failure to fulfill it should not warrant a death penalty. That's from a website called, or a web article called, Insights into the Daily Daf, Sanhedrin 56. Okay, my back has been covered. I've given the quotes. So that's the first point. Secondly, as can be observed from the list of the seven, they only cover actions, not belief or inner acknowledgements. So the acknowledgement of or belief in God or a commandment that, you know, dictates such would have no place in the seven laws. So that's where I am now. I think that claiming God commanded us to know him is creating a new religion, making a religion out of the seven laws that should not be done. Now, I'm also aware that it's blatantly obvious that rabbis, Jews, and many of their Gentile following these days teach that a lot more is commanded and forbidden than what is in the seven laws. The implication is that it's God doing the commanding and forbidding. Although I think the Divine Code is a great book, unfortunately, it's easy to get examples of this adding to God's seven laws from that book. Here's a good many examples. Page 29. A Gentile is commanded, in addition to the seven laws, to act in a way that human intelligence dictates. Page 57. We are commanded to remove and silence those who try to add to the seven commandments. How ironic. Or who try to nullify them. Page 59, we're forbidden to arrange debates with false prophets. Page 126, it's forbidden for a person that has been wronged to be cruel and not be appeased. Page 144, it's forbidden to listen to music of idol worship services. On the same page, it's forbidden to enter a house of idol worship. Page 270, any mention of God's name for no reason or for naught is forbidden. Page 440, any type of harm, including scaring and embarrassing, is forbidden in the same way that murder is forbidden. Page 522, it is forbidden for us Gentiles to have prostitutes or licentious women in our midst. Pages 525 to 527, Shem's court, Shem is the son of Noah, Shem's court, way back in the day, has jurisdiction over the whole world to tell us that no Gentile can marry an idolater. Page 543. A Gentile is forbidden to go swimming in a place where there's a mixture of men and women. Now, believe me, this list is far, and I mean far, from being exhaustive. And it's important that I include things that people would be glad to be forbidden, such as gossip or embarrassment, because as was quoted above, it's very tempting for people, even rabbis, to feel as if they can improve on God's law. And yet for so much which is claimed to be forbidden or commanded, it's not forbidden or commanded in God's law for humanity, the seven laws. To claim that it is and then to treat it as divine law is to create a new religion. Whatever I find to be distasteful or wrong, far be it from me to conflate it with the seven divine laws as if it has the same authority. It does not and it cannot. To get back to the original point, to claim that acknowledging and recognizing God is one of or part of the seven laws is establishing a new religion, or is to establish a new religion, as far as I read it. And I will stress the importance of knowing God exists without incorrectly proclaiming it's one of God's laws for Gentiles. You know, I get the feeling someone is going to talk about God still being very important. just bearing in mind. Where am I? Here we go. So that was my ringtone. Do you like my ringtone? Okay, so where was I now? No, I should have turned this down for the beginning. Anyway, so where was I now? Yes. So I get a feeling someone's going to talk about God still being very important, or that being moral and decent are vital. And I can't be bothered to give that sort of disclaimer for this whole article. That's a separate question that I've answered many times on my blog, and I'm just going to state my case with no apologies. And that is the end of the main article. That's the end of the main article. There are two things that came up in my mind as I was going through that article. And I'll relate them now, if you don't mind. You know, I don't know who's going to listen to this anyway. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway. So, one of the quotes I gave at the very beginning was from Rabbi Yoel Schwartz. And I want you to listen again to his quote, because I'm going to contradict him. Yes, a Gentile contradicting rabbi. Scary, isn't it? It's not really scary. It's just my opinion. So this is the quote. He says, "So it seems that the establishment of a new religion occurs only when a person comes and says that he has been ordered by God to fulfill such and such a law, and not when he's trying to reach a degree of spiritual perfection by fulfilling the commandments that the children of Israel has been ordered to carry out." That's an end quote. Thank you very much, Kiara. So, that's from his, from the beginning of his work called The Noahide Commandments, an online piece of work. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Essentially, he's saying a new religion comes up when, you know, a guy says, "Guess what? I've been commanded by God to do this." But he excludes the idea of somebody keeping one of the laws given to the children of Israel for spiritual perfection. Now think about it. We Gentiles, we are not the children of Israel. Okay? We have not been given all the other commandments, or we haven't even been given the commandments for the children of Israel. They have their commandments, we have our commandments. Our commandments are not the commandments of the children of Israel, although there are similarities, but there's many differences. So this rabbi is saying, if somebody says, "You know what, I'm going to keep the law against gossiping, I'm going to keep that law, and I'm going to say God ordered me to do such, and I'm going to do that to get spiritual perfection." Now, you should know that that whole notion is a lie. For somebody to claim that the commandment given to another people, for a Gentile, to say that law over there, given to the children of Israel, that's going to help me in my spiritual perfection, so I'm going to keep it, and I'm going to make it a law for myself. Now, it seems like, according to this, Rabbi Yoel Schwartz will say, "Yeah, that's fine. That's not creating a new religion." I would disagree. We have our laws, they have their laws. If we even with their laws, if we say, "Okay, I'm going to keep one of theirs, as if that's for me, as if God commanded it to me, as if I can set it in stone upon my life," no. I guess the main thing is just that you cannot say some things that is not commanded to you is now commanded to you. That's the lie that we should avoid. Of course, it's good to be decent. It's good to be moral. And if you live that way all your life, great. But to make it seem as if it's the divine command on you, that's the lie that we should avoid, even if it's one of the laws given to that other people, the children of Israel, the Jews. That was one point. There was something else that came across my mind. I'm going to see if I can find it before I fall asleep. That was it. It was that quote from Chabad.org, their website called the Seven Noahide Laws, Universal Morality. Now, listen to this. This is the way they... So this should be... Just to say, in the Talmud, in Maimonides, Maimonides, in the ancient texts, the law is against worshipping an idol. The law is against somebody actively going and bowing to an idol and saying, you're my God, in some way or another. That's it. Okay? Now, it's about an action. Remember that. Listen to the way Chabad.org basically craps all over this, spreads it far and wide, and makes it seem like it's divine commandment. This is supposed to be the same law. Listen. Do not profane God's oneness in any way. Did you hear that? Don't profane God's oneness in any way. Let's ignore the part after that where they add to God's command saying that we're supposed to acknowledge that there's a single God. Let's leave that aside. The way they depict this law is such a mutilation of the actual command is sickening. Now, again, people are going to go against me and say, hey, David, you shouldn't react this way. But come on. God gave a law to the Jews in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and Deuteronomy chapter 13, saying, don't add or take away from my law. And the Jews are supposed to take that seriously about their law. Now, when it comes to my seven laws, and when anybody, even a Jew, adds or takes away from my seven laws, am I supposed to say, oh, that's all right, that's fine? No, that's not happening. So listen again, don't profane God's oneness in any way. Now compare that general statement. Think about it. How can I profane God's oneness in any way? That can go to my thoughts. That can go to any action that I do that isn't actual idol worship. So if I said, let's imagine that I said, God is the supreme God and Jesus is his son. That profanes God's oneness. It's not idol worship. It's not idol worship. But it is it brings down God's oneness. Because you're now adding something onto God. I have not bowed down to anything. I've just said something. And that is a way of profaning God's oneness. Because it says to profane it anyway. That is not the command that we have been given as Gentiles. Our command is, don't actively worship an idol. That's it. Beware of your actions. You can learn from that, of course. You can learn from that and make it more consistent for the way you think. But don't. Please do not follow what Chabad.org just did there and add to our commandments or make it so wide that it's no longer our commandment. It's something new, and it is something new. I just find it really, really sad. It's disappointing. It's disappointing that the people who are supposed to give us our commandments and just relate them to us would twist it. I'm not saying all of them, because some of them are very consistent. Rabbi Michael Shalom Abarom, he's one of the most consistent that I've seen. He just sticks to the seven commandments as given by Rambam, and he doesn't stray from it. He gives them as prohibitions, and that's that. In his book, he may make points that, hey, it's still important that you believe in God and all that, but he doesn't do what these other rabbis do, these creative rabbis who think they can give us our law as if it's actually meant to be a religion. It's just not right. Anyway, I appreciate you for your time. Thanks for your patience. And I hope you have a great day. Thank you very much. Sorry for all the noise in the background. I have a life and I can't block it out because it's my life and I don't have no fancy studio to block everything out. And even if I did, I've got a family to take care of. And there's times I'm going to have to cut and run and take care of them. So they're more important. Forgive me. So yeah, I appreciate your time. Have a great day and be well.